got one item left, and that is the 600th anniversary. Oh, we're all excited about the 600th anniversary. Yes! Can I ask the very dad? This is the issue that's been brought to us by the school presidents, and on their behalf, can I ask the very dashing Mr. Matthew Kleiss to lead us in debate?
You stay classy, Sandy.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ron Burgundy. As Sam said in his delightful introduction, I'm bringing forward the... There's a lot of reverb in this. I'm bringing forward the school president's item, which is a discussion of the 600th anniversary. And as an art history student, admittedly, I'm going to swing this in the sort of broad, possibly a bit faffy direction of the presentation of the image of our university, which I think when we're in the university itself, it's kind of hard to sort of place ourselves outside. Maybe it's easy, but this is something that the 600 campaign is very involved with because it is essentially the sort of the brainchild of the development office, which in addition to the admissions department is one of the sort of the big things that allows contact with sort of the outside world. As big and scary as it is. So what I hope to sort of discuss now is how we, as the representatives of the student body, feel that the university really should be representing itself to the outside world, what character that should take, how this should be done, and for what purposes. So the ultimate sort of branding of this has been the 600 campaign. So if you haven't heard, our university will be turning 600 sometime, probably in the next 3 years or so. And in conjunction with this, there has been, in addition to the development campaign, a series of lectures. I saw there's going to be a medieval music weekend in January, which would be really cool. But mostly what I hope to address is the fundraising development campaign. So just to start off, how many of you guys have seen this thing? Hey, school presidents have. You guys have. This I got, actually, I have a pal at the development office, which is coincidentally one of the few reasons I know anything about this. It's a big, fancy, colorful booklet full of things that the university is going to try and raise money for and spend it on. And this is available, I know, at least in the office, and they're probably sending it out to people because it's sort of the sales pitch, if you will. It's the big, shiny thing. So they're focusing the development campaign on seven sort of key areas around which the central goal is to help the university stay small. I just learned actually at the school president forum yesterday that the university, contrary to what a lot of popular opinion has seemed to suggest, has no plans in the near future to grow its student population. This has sort of been a big concern because, you know, you'll probably encounter a lot of your peers saying, you know, where are they going to put them? Housing's expensive, things like that. Maybe they're going to build a new Fife Park, and it'll be even more expensive than the last one. It'll be coated in leather. That's not happening. So the seven areas, just to sort of briefly go over them, there's one called Keeping Ahead, which is essentially the academic programs they're going to try and open with the money they receive. Home and Abroad, which is the development of a few centers for the study of social issues in Scotland and abroad. A Better Chance, which is the academic bursaries and sort of student aid, which includes actually some aid for housing, which is fun. Life on Earth, which is a... sort of ties with the next one called Land and Sea. And these are, yeah, I know, good names. These are sort of developments of centers for the study of biodiversity and earth sciences. The next is Living Here, which is the sort of development of student-based sort of activities and institutions, one of which actually had a chat with Sam just now. There's they list £2 million as being raised to develop the students' union, although apparently the £12 million has already been allocated to So that's interesting. And that also includes £7 million for the sports union, and another fund for additional sports equipment for societies. So a lot of this is being covered. And the last one is arches and artifacts, which, as again, an art history student, very interested in. That's mostly the development of, well, £10 million toward special collections, which used to be in the bottom floor of the library, and the final, £300,000 will be going, which will lead me into my next point, to the redevelopment of the St. Salvador's Quadrangle. So I have a flatmate named Harry, who graduated from St. Andrews last year and is now doing a degree at Dundee in teaching. So he's been at Madras, but he is technically an alumnus of the university. So in the mail, he got, I think it was a few weeks ago, it was a little pamphlet, there's one sitting on my seat, asking him to donate, I think it was £100 or £500 for a brick with his initials on it. That's one of them. I have a few pamphlets over there. See me afterwards if you want to take a look at one. It was asking for money to redevelop the St. Salvador's Quadrangle, predominantly for putting in a renewable energy source under the grass. Scientists will be able to inform you about that one. And disabilities access to a lot of the buildings, which I'm sure we can all agree are important. Again, though, I would like to come back to my original point that this is sort of a question of the presentation of the image of our university. So, having a chat with Sam the other day, we were discussing the relation of the 600 campaign to the student experience at St. Andrews. And because this is pushing toward alumni, what the focus of the entire campaign is really is to sort of touch alumni and remind them of their student experience here in order to have them give money, hopefully, to the university so that it can develop its facilities. So when they're sending things out to alumni, they are presenting the image of what the university is becoming, what the administration is trying to do with the university, and what the university is now. So when you receive maybe this booklet in the mail, or even when you see as a recent graduate, if you're asked for £100 to pay for a brick for St. Salvador's Quadrangle, which my friend Harry, who studied physics, never once set foot in, it leads you to question where exactly this money is going, why they're asking you for it, and how in God's name it's helping. So I think this can kind of come back to bite the university, because, and ultimately the student body, because this is how they're asking people to give them money, essentially, to raise funds, which, as we can judge from Patrick's speech earlier, is becoming is less and less of a factor from the government and more of a factor from students and from external sources. So the focus of procuring this money from former students has been supposedly to stay small, which, in terms of addressing the student experience, that's sort of the main idea, that this is a small university, we're based in communities, we have funny little quirky things we do, like cover each other in foam and dress each other up in costumes and run into the ocean when it's freezing cold. And that's, you know, that's the kind of thing you like to remember when you look back on university. So then the question becomes, because it's presenting itself like this, what is this campaign working toward? What is this focused on? Is it focused on the student experience? Is it focused on the funny little quirky traditions that make up our community in the way that it is sort of like a small town full of students? It is a small town full of students, actually. Funny that.
much.
Or is it focused on sort of the image that the university is creating for itself as, say, a forerunner in, you know, in the international sphere of research, as the place where Wills and Kate went, as, you know, a place full of cobbled hallways and history and all sorts of state-of-the-art institutions. So really what I was sort of hoping to bring from this discussion was not really any sort of point we'd discussed as school presidents as a whole, but more questions about what the university is trying to do with itself in the future, in, you know, 10, 20, maybe 100 years' time. Or at least that's how the development office tried to sort of propose the campaign go forward. Now, what I've sort of, as an American, what I've sort of been reminded of in my experiences over the past couple of days going to the development office to collect brochures and things and talking to some of the staff there, is that if this is to become a major part of what our university does, if this is going to be a major focus on what we're spending money on, really nice paper with booklets and pictures about how the university is going to build really nice things, it reminded me a lot of American universities and what they have been doing to raise money and how the focus has gone increasingly toward getting money from people who have gone to the university. And what that has led to in the long term, I'm not saying this especially will happen over here, I would think that would take quite a lot of effort on the university's part, is the shaping of the university in terms of what the donors will do, or in terms of what the donors will look for to get money or to give money to the university. So if any of you have been to America and gone by a university, you'll notice the gigantic sports stadiums. You'll notice the channels they have on TV for NCAA, the National College Athletics Association. You'll notice the huge amounts of money pumped into gigantic fancy new buildings, which may or may not be used, may or may not be of the highest quality. You'll notice the huge amounts of students let in and the gigantic amounts of tuition they're paying, but also the huge amounts of scholarships that are being offered to them. So essentially, what it turns the university into is a fundraising business. Not in, this is obviously an extreme case, but I think in terms of the focus of this campaign as creating an image of St. Andrews for the people outside of it, for how we will interact with it in the future, it's very important to pay attention to how the university wants to shape itself in its communication with the outside world, in the communication with its former students, and more importantly, say, in the communication with its students now about how they want this to look. So that's about it.
Take some questions.
I just wanted to say that... no, it's all right, thanks. I just want to say that it's not all bad in America, the way that there's so much kind of fundraising that goes on. I mean, I don't think it necessarily leads to negative kind of consequences. At the end of the day, there are a number of things. Firstly, like, the best universities in the world are just, like, American. Like, we have some of the best universities in the world as well, but, you know, they have the best of the best. So, like, the endowment of Harvard is bigger than every single UK university put together. And that means that Harvard has been able to offer students who can't afford the fees, like, loads of students. I mean, I can't remember the figure, but it was kind of, it was maybe, like, even near, like, 50%. Maybe Kate knows. Do you know?
Oh, I am American.
Yeah, basically.
The
thing is as well is that we, like, the UK has now become the most expensive, like, place in the world for, like, public education, like, at the university level. And given that, I don't really see any other kind of option than fundraising to try and, you know, ease that kind of pressure for people who can't necessarily afford $9,000 a year.
A couple of things. The first one is, I think we'd probably all like to know how this fundraising thing is actually going. Development's a pretty snazzy bunch. They have a very nice building, and the office of the guy in charge is really sweet. And I think we all kind of want to know if they're actually raising any money. I worked in College Gate over the summer, and now when I talk to the staff there, I'm like, so how's it all going? And they're like, no one knows what's going on. That's really important. We need to be aware of what's happening. Is there?
Yeah.
Well, that needs to be publicized.
I checked that a little while ago. Did I write it down? I think it was about £28 million they've raised so far, which it's questionable as to whether or not that's actually the real figure, which is kind of an issue.
Is that a Just Giving pitch?
Yeah, I think that was. If I could briefly touch on Anthony's point, I think, I sort of meant to work this in. I sort of skipped over that bullet point.
Should we take them at the end?
There's
a lot of hands up.
All right. Okay.
Quickly to move on from that, I think we all agree that we want nice things at the university. We want a new gym. We want all kinds of things. We need to be, I think, I've in the position where I know quite a lot of graduates who graduated maybe 20, 30 years ago, they're well launched in their careers, and a lot of them do give money to the university, and they have, and a lot of them do it, for example, they sit on the boards of kind of judging competitions, and their fee for that is something that goes to a charity, and they give that money to salaries, $10,000, $15,000, whatever. And every time one particular one has given money through this to the university, he's had to chase it up with the company to make sure that the university has received, $10,000-$15,000, because the university infrastructure for dealing with development, I personally don't think is well run enough. So while they're trying to do something good for the university in terms of raising money, it's actually ending up looking incredibly unprofessional. And as of next year, this guy isn't going to be giving the university money anymore at a time when we need it more than ever. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't know what level and how it can be addressed, but I definitely think it needs to, because we can't be losing donors, really.
I just wanted to add to Anthony's point about the endowment, and I, just in saying this, I don't really know if this is in response to, like, your points about how endowment is not such a great thing in America, what your point about that is, if it's, I guess I want you to clarify, like, if we're meant to be saying that this is a bad thing, just as student representation, because just with Anthony's thought, I agree that it's not a bad thing in the U.S. at all. I think that's that the endowment in the U.S. definitely, and the kind of traditions of alumni giving a lot of money is often is a great thing, and it, if you look at a lot of the schools in the U.S., you see how sustainable a lot of them are. So that's kind of an indicator of where a lot of the money goes, I think. While it may go into other things like sports facilities and things, but those are also really good things. So I think that's something we should support.
We've been talking a lot about endowments in the US as an example, but I think we can also look closer to home. So I've got a few friends who are at Oxford and Cambridge, and they get a lot from alumni donated. So for example, one of my friends has had the luxury of never having to work throughout her entire university career, because during the summer she gets funded to go and do internships, she gets funded to go to volunteer overseas. And I think that's a really great thing, and that's from what alumni have given to her college. They have a really, really big fund for that. And I think that's a really good thing. You know, it's not a luxury that I don't think many people in this room have been able to have, to just be able to do whatever they want in the summer, to do things to further their careers. I think to say that asking alumni for money is a bad thing is so wrong. I think it's a really good culture that we should build, because now she feels really strongly that when she's in a position that she's in, she can then give back to her college and then help other people who are in the same position as her. I think it's really important to encourage that.
The point I was trying to make about endowment is essentially, it's not that it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. And I think it's necessary, like in the sort of the culture, especially that's being developed around universities where they're having to sort of fund themselves. I think this is an incredibly integral part of what's going on. My sort of worry was sort of how this is being done and whether or not this is being done effectively and accurately. So I definitely think the goal should be as building, I mean, in the case of Harvard, obviously it's insane. Like, you know, they'll just give anyone tons of financial aid. It's, you know, it's great. But in terms of other sort of smaller universities around the states, it can go wrong sort of in the pursuit of this. So if you try and sort of big yourself up too big too quick, and you end up spending a lot of money on things that might not necessarily be as good as if you'd say waited a bit, or the way you're going about trying to raise this endowment is, say, unprofessional or slightly inaccurate in terms of what alumni want to view their university as, then it won't be as successful in terms of actually getting the endowment, which we want, because it's sort of, you know, it's a good thing. It can get more students in for sort of less money and all that sort of happy stuff.
I realize we're about to push for time, so just trying to take a few more comments.
Yeah. So mine is also kind of a question, just quickly. When deciding where the money goes, does the alumni get to choose where it goes? And with the 600 fund, do I get to choose which parts of them, main points you pointed out at the beginning, where it goes? And if not, maybe this is something they need to look at as sort of taking an example from Oxfam, where you can buy a goat. Maybe that's the way we should do it, an online shop like that. You can buy so many books for this department. You can buy things like that. So maybe that's something to think about. Yeah.
I think I can answer quite a few specific questions about development, but I'll maybe take the questions first.
One's kind of general. First of all, who chose the 7 goals? Like, and also, are there, like, that's three better kind of. Are there any initiatives by student government to contact and get alumni on our side? For things like any kind of problems that we might have with administration, like then of student fees or like, because I'm sure lots of people would side on your side and like push the university. I think that's a good way of action, talking to alumni as students, not as the university. Yeah.
Please, can I just answer that one? This is such a big thing. So I got invited to the alumni carol concert next week. It's a big event. It's a lot of alumni from St Andrews who are in London, many of whom, you know, work in banks, earn what is known in the industry as a shitload of money. I phoned Patrick Degg, head of development, and said, Patrick, I'm going down to this thing. What of your projects do you want me to plug? And I got an email back a week later saying, as you may not already know, Sam, but the alumni carol concert isn't organised by St Andrews, so I'm not sure what you hope to achieve in raising money there. I was going to email back and point out to him that maybe he should try and raise money at some events that aren't organised by St Andrews, but that was the extent of my foray into trying to raise money for us.
I think a couple of points that I'm really worried about is, A, I know that we've got this tally for how much money is being raised, but I'd like to know how much money is being spent. Is this in profit or is this just like numbers? I think that's something that hasn't been made very clear and I think should be made more clear to us. And I know that there, you know, I mean, I know that for instance, there's a golf tournament and there's something like 50 grand a year is being spent organizing it and it's one tournament. You know, events, things like that, like specific incidents, which again, no transparency, no discussion. What's going on behind closed doors when it comes to these sorts of funds? And also we're talking about this incredibly big issue of 9 grand a year which students are going to have to pay. Where are our bursaries? Where are our, if alumni are being pursued for things like let's have a flagstone in the quad, well, also let's have an education provided for someone who can't afford it, because that seems to be where we're being pushed at the moment. So I feel like that's another issue that we should be pushing.
I would just like to say something as someone who is very, very lucky, and I do get a very generous scholarship from the university, which is one of the only reasons that I'm here. And so I do think that there are people like me who get these scholarships, which is a great thing. And a few people sort of raised the point of how do we keep in contact with the alumni so they know their money is going to a good place. I have to send 3 letters per year to my sponsor telling them about me. It's all a bit weird, but about me and what I'm doing with the money and stuff. It's a bit odd for me, but I think it's a good way for me to keep in contact with them, to let them know their money is going to a good purpose. And I think maybe that could be expanded, possibly.
A few of the points about how the development's, how it's doing, etc. I don't think it's doing that well, okay? I think that there's a whole history of development where they got in another company to run their development scheme for the 600s, then didn't think that company was doing very well. The company left, someone else was brought in, and there's been various changes of personnel in development and who's running it over the years. Now, first of all, I say from the people I know from development, they do a great job, they're hardworking, they're some of the friendliest people we've met in the university. But I don't think in terms of the targets of the 100 million, it's now been said by the director of development that he's inherited that target from previously. So therefore, it's not really, if they don't make the 100 million, which has always been the target, it's not really his fault. And also the period of time where the 100 million, I mean, I previously heard that it was between 2011 and 2013. And then I've heard the principal say, oh, actually, it's 2008 to 2016. She said that at the last staff forum. So the amount of money there is in question, and also the time frame for raising that money is questionable as well. In terms of drawing up, or who thought up these goals, and the plan, we didn't have any say in it. I'm not that sure that. I mean, I think it was more the case of, okay, what is your sabbatical fundraising, student association fundraising goal for this? So out of that, you maybe get one, which is the previous sabbatical said, okay, scholarships, as you'd expect. Quite hopefully widen access scholarships. But if you look through there, there's a lot more in there. Some of them are great. I mean, and reading through it, it's like, well, okay, the life, land on earth or whatever, walking with dinosaurs, whatever the rest of it is. But some of them are great, but I think a lot of them have been shaped by, a lot more by academic schools rather than by students. I think there's so there's a question of whether that's fair in the first place. Another question is, a lot of these projects cost a certain amount of money. Now, if you don't raise that amount of money, does it mean that you do a lesser version of the project? Does it mean you would scrap it altogether? And so as you're going on, yes, alumni can choose which, as someone who worked in development over the phones, alumni can choose within a set of, say, 7-6 different options of what they want to do. But I think that, from speaking to some alumni as well who we deal with, there is some kind of unhappiness about the way that they've been approached for money, and the fact about getting a leaflet about the quad, for example, as well. And I think that as students, if we're asked, and we're not really, and as student representatives, we're not really asked, all right, how do you feel the redevelopment, that how do you feel that the development's going, or how do you feel the 600 fundraising is going? I think we can contribute like a lot of things that people have said tonight as well, and say, okay, development thought that sending out that thing about the quad was a great idea, and that's a great project and a great story to tell for fundraising. So, I mean, if they asked us, we could say, well, maybe, paving stone initial, it's not the best idea of getting a sentence as well. So I think the answer there, if they do ask us, I think we'll be able to contribute a lot more towards those fundraising goals. Another thing in terms of the figures as well, it's worth raising, so I'll make this the last thing, is that they included the total is the number of pledges as well, and anyone that works in fundraising knows a pledge isn't the same as having the cash in the bank. And also they included in the money that was donated from the Wellcome Trust for the biomedical science building. I think it's that building, but basically it was achieved by a group of academics. who had managed to fundraise for that. So I know that they weren't happy that their efforts to get money from the Wellcome Trust had then been included as an achievement for development, and that caused a bit of an issue and a bit of debate there. I'll maybe take one last if you've got one point, and then I'll hand over to Matt just to conclude.
You were saying, if development asks us, are you saying that all the issues that are raised tonight are not going to be told to the development office? Because if so, I'm not quite sure what the purpose of this discussion is if we can't bring them to the right people so they can make a change.
I mean, I'm not saying the if in the future. I'm saying if, you know, they haven't really asked us that much in the past or asked students.
But so yeah. are you going to see them and say,
yeah,
these are like comments?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I sit in the 600th anniversary committee, which has had one meeting, but the structure of that debate has very much been limited in the sense that it seems like a lot of stuff's already in place, and your room for manoeuvrability and change within that is limited. But you know, I've certainly raised the points that were brought up here.
So are there, for example, can people who fund, who want to give money, can they email and like ask questions about it and stuff?
Can they email the development office?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it seems to be stemming sort of almost from an issue of sort of accountability, as, you know, it's not clear as to where that sort of the figure of how much money he's actually raised is gone to. Yes, you can donate to one of seven sort of areas in terms of giving, but it's kind of vague as to where your money will actually go as a donor. And we haven't really heard much about how the money's being spent either. Actually, I know I asked someone if they what they thought about the 600 campaign, and they said, "What's that?" So it's I think, yeah, it's within the university there probably could be more done to sort of distribute information.